Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? Well, did you get my message? Ooh, did you get my message? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. As often as we can, we like to respond to our listeners' email and the comment line. Those are the two main ways we hear from our listeners, given our beloved on-demand listeners, the vast majority of them listen out of time. The most convenient way for them to contact us is, of course, old-fashioned email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or the Issues Etc. comment line that's always open for your questions, your comments, show criticism, suggestions. We'd like to hear from you. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. We'll start on this Thursday afternoon with Jeff's favorite task as executive producer of the program, reading some emails.
You know, if I'm executive producer, who's the producer? Doesn't that require somebody to be underneath me?
Yeah, usually executives are kind of the top notch there.
We're Skippy, my associate producer.
You're the one who came up with the title, so I don't know what you were thinking.
I usually use producer for people I've been dealing with for years, but if it's like a big shot, like national media book, I put executive producer in there, so they think we're really, really big.
Okay. Well, it's not me. I can tell you, I'm not the producer underneath you, so.
Well, thank you for calling me executive producer. Maybe I'll get a pay raise this year. Hey, have you recovered from the 5th annual Issues Etc. Making the Case conference last weekend?
Well, yeah, you were talking about how your recovery was a lot quicker this year than in previous years, and you weren't as tired or sore or anything like that. And I can't say that I was exhausted, although Sunday afternoon I started feeling it a little bit, but in a lot of ways, it seemed not effortless. It was not effortless, but it seemed a lot smoother and easier this time for some reason, even though I was tired afterwards.
I think we're becoming crafty veterans. I always get shin splints.
Well, that's
from
because
the conference.
You're constantly walking everywhere.
But usually the shin splints last until Friday, but they were gone by about Monday afternoon. So I must not have been walking as much this year.
Well, maybe you weren't. I don't know. For me, it's a total blur. The conference is always a total blur because once we get the speaker up on the dais, we start worrying about the next thing that has to happen. This year, though, I did have the opportunity, and this is why I knew it felt a little smoother. I had the opportunity to actually sit down during some of the presentations and listen uninterrupted. I get to listen to one presentation uninterrupted from beginning to end, Aaron Wolf's presentation. And that's never happened before. Usually people say, oh, that's a great presentation. I didn't actually hear most of it because I was busy doing something else.
Well, thanks to all of our listeners who attended the Making the Case conference and our good friends at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School here in Collinsville, Pastor Walther, Pastor Adel, Jim and Mary Kruda, Carol Walther, Marty Hoffman, the guy that does everything behind the scenes for us. We really appreciate it. And of course, thanks to our listeners and our great speakers. I mean, it's really about the speakers.
That's what it's all about. I mean, that's why you and I are busy during the conference, because we're getting ready for that next speaker coming up and thinking about what needs to happen, keeping those speakers coming. By the way, if you attended the June conference, you got an email from us. And if you haven't opened it yet, please do, because in there, there's a link to a survey. We like to survey people as soon after the conference as we can so that you can give us your feedback on the conference you just attended, especially if you were a first-time conference attendee last week.
During morning chapel from Kramer Chapel that we run every morning here on Lutheran Talk Radio, issuesetc.org, and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app, got a call. And the caller ID said Memorial Lutheran. And I'm like, oh no, it's Houston, Texas, already trying to pin us down on specifics. But it wasn't Houston. So I was grateful because haven't thought much about our fall Making the Case conference at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
But I did have a lot of people stop me at last week's conference saying, boy, if I can, I'm going to try and make it to Houston.
I'm surprised.
Or I wish I could because of the lineup, but largely because of the lineup that they saw there. And they mentioned, of course, Mark and Molly Hemingway and Rod Dreher and the others that are going to be speaking there in Houston.
And you can register now at issuesetc.org. It's November 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. And registration is $120. Child care is free. Don't wait to register. All right, email. This comes from Jim. As usual, he's talking about your recent interview with Glenn Stanton on the loss of manhood. Jim writes, as usual, I hear the synergism coming through loud and clear. Also, as usual, the implication that male are not males because, one, males disinterested in sports, women, marriage, etc., automatically means such males are homosexuals. Think of the time you asked me if I was gay because I voiced a libertarian attitude on marriage and childbearing several years in an email exchange.
I don't remember ever asking. I would not ask any listener if they were gay because they weren't married. I simply would not do that. It's not that I don't recall if I did or didn't. I simply would not do that. So I don't know if Jim got that impression in an email exchange, but I just wouldn't do it.
Did you delete it off your server? You deleted your email off your server. We have no evidence. Maybe Jim is right. It's your word against Jim's word.
I'm just saying.
Are there tapes?
I'm just saying. I know people don't believe this, but I try to be as careful as I can possibly be when I'm interacting with, especially with listeners online and in email, and simply would never ask that question for a whole host of reasons.
Number two, males are not real men if they are into the arts and sciences.
I don't think Glenn Stanton ever said anything about that. And golly, I come from a very, very, very artsy family with both with children who are artsy and all of those things. So I don't think I'd say that either. That would kind of be nonsensical.
Jim's third point, the idea that marriage and childbearing save souls.
Never said that either. Marriage and childbearing are a great gift of God, and they are part of God's general command to all of creation to be fruitful and multiply. Not everyone is given the gift of a spouse, or even when given the gift of a spouse, of children. But I think the only thing we've ever rebuked is the rejection of marriage or the redefinition of marriage. But I think we always try and present marriage and children as a gift of God.
And Jim concludes, it is the synergistic attitude you espouse that has pushed me away from marriage, dating, etc. Learn to let God deal with unattached and child-free married males on Judgment Day. Face it, Wilkin, you and Stanton are not preaching grace and forgiveness. You are preaching works and unforgiveness and are binding consciences.
Yeah,
thanks for listening and thanks for the feedback, Jim.
Well, I don't think Glenn would ever say such a thing. I've never talked with a bigger sweetheart in all my life, and he is a deeply compassionate man in many ways, so I don't think that would be the case here. And we have never said or even implied that salvation depends on one's marital status or on whether or not one has children. It's a gift of God that God gives generally to all men and to women, and to some, he doesn't give the gift of marriage or of children. And that's simply the case. And it does not in any way whatsoever, I think I've said this before, in no way whatsoever, by any stretch of the imagination, have anything to do at all in any way with one's salvation. But thanks for the feedback. When we come back, more of your email and your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line live this Thursday afternoon, the 15th of June.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Thursday afternoon. What's next, Jeff?
Well, during the break, you know who called? You don't know because you can't hear it ring out in there in the studio. But Lana Sherb, beloved wife of Dr. Ken Sherb, with great news. They're on their way. They're going to stop by the studio.
Today?
I think so.
Really?
I didn't. Craig, is that how you understood the message? Yep. You don't have to whisper, Craig. You can share my mic if you need to. But you have to share. You don't get your own. Okay. But yeah, so Lana, go Ohio State Buckeyes, Sherb, and Pastor Sherb, the associate host of Issues Etc., are going to be here any moment.
That's good to hear.
It's very good to hear.
It's a good thing we're here. I understand we had some visitors this morning, and I wasn't here.
Yeah, I think, I was someone here, and then Craig got here. But they don't want to see Craig or me, you know.
It's I was home watching a grandbaby.
Oh, that's vocation. All right, this comes from Doug. He said, I'm listening to your discussion regarding the Bernie Sanders revealing tests for public office. I don't agree that only atheists, agnostics, and liberal Christians would comply with Bernie's religious test. Instead, Bernie is expressing his human secular faith. In his mind, anyone who does not share his human secular faith does not deserve to be employed by his government. This is not a battle between people of faith and people without faith. This is a battle between human secularists and Christians, but really all other faiths. It is a religious battle. That is why the left is so passionate about their position. I think we are doing a disservice when we fail to recognize human secularism as anything but a competing religion. Bernie is simply an aggressive evangelist for his religion. Thank you for your ongoing leadership, writes Doug.
Well, I agree and I disagree. First of all, I agree that secular progressivism, or call it humanism, whatever. I think humanism is a term that tends to get it got borrowed for this and it's being misapplied. But let's call it secular progressivism. It has all the hallmarks of a religion. We've had guests on the program who've pointed out that any kind of worldview that seeks to, or any kind of ideology that seeks to answer ultimate questions and offer answers to ultimate questions is by definition a religion. So at least in terms of its ideology. So secular progressivism fits the bill. So I agree there. In the way that Senator Sanders applies secular progressivism, I don't think he's consistent, though. I don't think he's anti-religious. I don't think he has a problem with someone having religious beliefs as long as those religious beliefs do not involve absolutes, moral absolutes, absolutes with regard to salvation. What raised his ire was the notion that there could be someone, an appointee for high office, who would, I think it was Russell Vogt, if I'm not mistaken, who would hold a view that Jesus is the only way of salvation for all people. That's what raised Senator Sanders' ire. And although we haven't had an opportunity to hear from the senator on this, I imagine if he were to be consistent, he would have a similar problem with a Muslim who believes that all non-Muslims will perish eternally under Allah's wrath. I think he would believe that, but the way he's applying it is not being even-handed. I don't think Bernie Sanders has a problem with religion per se, broadly defined. I think he has a problem with absolutes. If your religion does not hold to moral or doctrinal absolutes, I don't think he'd have a problem with you. If there's a Christian out there who says, I'm religious, I have religious beliefs, a professed Christian out there, and says, you know, but Jesus is one way of salvation, Bernie Sanders would have no problem with you. So he's not opposed to religious ideas per se. Or if you said abortion is absolutely wrong, he has a problem with you. You're imposing religious views. But if you're a religious person who says, according to my religious views, abortion is okay, he's got no problem with that. It's absolutes that Senator Sanders has. And look, let's not single him out. He is an illustration of generally in our society today how secular progressivism applies its principles, its religious principles, not consistently. And the real problem is not with religion or with truth, but with absolute truth and with absolutes.
Hello, this is Reverend Jeff Springer. I'm pastoral advisor for LCMSU and IPFW in Fort Wayne. And I just wanted to again comment about how wonderful the show is and how relevant the topics are and the quality of the interviewing. In particular, I wanted to comment on Terry Mattingly's May 15th media coverage of Boko Haram's kidnapping of the girls. I think he did an excellent job. And I would have nominated, for instance, his quote about having our leaders over here in the United States making comments and statements. We need to have more of that. I'd like to see our district presidents in the LCMS and step up, as well as our president has done well, but to speak out about these things publicly, of what's going on in the Middle East and what's happening to Christians there. I think it's very important, and I would have liked to have that particular particular quote mentioned in the quotes. Now, the other thing I would say is again, I also liked The Fatherhood by Meg Beaker, and I wanted to comment, and she had mentioned toward the end of the interview about this idea of forgiving oneself. This is something I know that Issues Etc. has dealt with before, and I would just recommend, as the interviewer, that would be something to question some of these very public-type figures and experts in this area, about whether forgiving oneself really is something that works. It just seems like it's incurvatus est, in my view, to try to talk about this idea of trying to forgive oneself and not look to something outside of that standard And even she could use the idea of the father in that regard. But again, very good job, and look forward to future broadcasts. Bye.
Thank you very much for your comment. By the way, the comment line is 618-223-8382 for anybody who wants to chime in as well. Okay, I'll deal with your subjects in reverse order. The Meg Meeker interview, I don't recall her talking about forgiving oneself, but of course, my recollection is often very, very flimsy. And I would be certain that she was speaking kind of in psychological terms and not in theological terms. I don't think she was talking about absolving oneself in the sense that one could acknowledge a sin and then simply forgive oneself. And you're quite right in saying that is theological nonsense. One cannot forgive oneself. If one could, that would make life so much easier if you could just simply go around absolving yourself for all of your deeds. I think what she was talking about is using a kind of common parlance for laying aside regret or lingering guilt after one has been rightly forgiven something. So I think that's what she was doing there, which is probably why it didn't raise a red flag with me. Sometimes it's a judgment call as an interviewer when someone says something like that that raises a yellow flag. You say, okay, do I deal with that now and interrupt the interview, which is generally a bad idea, or am I hearing this in theological terms when the person who said forgive oneself was really just talking about dealing with lingering regret? And then in that case, you let it go, a judgment call on my part. Now, the first subject you brought up has to do with public statements about, well, really Christian persecution. And I agree with you there as well. Can you imagine if the earliest Christians who were living under formal and sometimes legalized persecution, can you imagine a bishop saying, well, you know, I can't really speak about persecution because it's a political issue? Yeah, those people that were all rounded up on the other side of the city the other day and were brought into the magistrate and asked to renounce Christ, or who were mistreated for the name of Christ. I'm not going to speak to that because I don't want to get into politics. Doesn't that sound like nonsense? Well, it sounds like nonsense because it is. So do Christian pastors, people, church leaders have an obligation and the privilege, at least in a free society, of saying something when they see Christian persecution happen, like it did in the case of those young girls kidnapped and some released after, what, 3 years by Boko Haram? That is Christian persecution, and they have an obligation to say something about it, not to remain silent about it, especially to call the church to pray about that, not at the end of persecution, but for those who are being thus persecuted, and not to hide behind that thin veil of, well, I don't want to get into politics, or I don't know anything about that, I don't want to politicize the issue. No, the church has a voice in these things. Not only look, persecution will come. It's something that Christ promises will be part of the Christian and the church's life, but that doesn't mean we can't object. It is an injustice, after all. That doesn't mean we can't object to it, and I think you're right. We ought to object to it. Again, the issues, et cetera, comment line 618-223-8382 on this Thursday afternoon. We're going through the comment line and your email. More after this.
Communication's never been as easy as today. Would make me happy when you've gone so far away. Send me an email that says I love you.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Let's get through some more email here.
Lord Feichninger says that we have 7.5 minutes left. I'd like to get through five emails.
All right.
All right. Paul writes, thanks for all the wonderful work that you do at Issues Etc. It is truly a blessing to the church. I would like to make the friendly suggestion that you redo your website. Frankly, it looks very dated, and the search is a bit unreliable, as it's hard sometimes to find all the episodes of a series of podcasts you have done. It'd be wonderful to make the website far more presentable, especially for when people share the podcast via Twitter or Facebook. Keep up all the great work, writes Paul.
Yeah, we're aware of that. I mean, I'm online like everybody else, and I see a couple things. I see a lot of very slick-looking websites that have zero substance. It's one thing to have a beautiful website. It's another thing to have a functional website. And this is just, I can tell you exactly why it looks the way it does. Because we have, because yours truly is the webmaster. That's why it looks the way it does. We try to make it functional, but we'd like to improve it kind of as a long-term goal, not a super high priority, because the vast majority of our listeners are getting us through other listening services besides the website. But I understand your point about if someone shares it via Twitter and they go to the website and it kind of looks archaic. We've had many conversations about this, but it's one of those things we'd like to do here in the future, have someone professionally do the website that we can still maintain without having to go back to college and get a degree in web design, and then because I'm old and still be able to do everything that it does. But again, the vast majority of our listeners are not going to the website to listen. They're getting their listening via iTunes and other listening services, but the website there is kind of the archive and the resource.
The overwhelming majority of people are listening via the Lutheran Public Radio app. It surpassed iTunes as the way they listen. And Josh McNary, WordSites, has promised to help redesign the website for us. All right, quickly, Cheryl. Do you think an unmarried couple living together in an unmarried state should be banned from the church? Many years ago, my husband and I did this, but we were not banned from our local Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation. Eventually, we married and became very active leaders. I think if we had been banned, our story would have been sadly different. Do you have a comment about this? I don't know where to look for answers. My current pastor thinks such folks should be banned from church.
I don't. It depends on what you mean by banned from church. They should be called to repent and to stop living together as husband and wife when they are no longer husband and wife. And then let's move them toward marriage. Now, if they were to say, no, we're going to live together and we have no interest in marriage, we're going to cohabit, then church discipline is appropriate. Again, after patient and careful call to repentance, not only then by the pastors, but by the elders of the church and by the rest of the congregation. There's an entire process there that Jesus lays out for us in Matthew 18 on how we are to deal with any sin, any open and unrepentant sin in the church. And discipline is the end of the process, not the beginning I'm talking about the banning that you're mentioning there, is the end of the process, not the beginning. Although, I don't want to be in the position of saying that a church that is sadly forced by unrepentant circumstances to tell people you may not receive the sacrament because you are living in open manifest sin, that that's going to necessarily drive people away. Jesus gave us this not to drive people away from the church, but to call them to repentance and bring them back into the fold of the church. And Matthew, that step of discipline that Jesus gives to his church works. It works either way. When someone is hardened in their sin and in the worst case, like St. Paul says, handed over to the devil, that is one outcome. The other one is when they actually do repent. The goal is repentance. And Jesus didn't give us a flawed system. We just have a flawed way of applying it.
Ted listens in Yorktown, Virginia. So I was reading a book about the Holocaust and came across a statement that Martin Luther in a 1543 book called The Jews and Their Lies, that Luther advocated burning of Jews' homes and synagogues. He also said other bad things about Jews. I am a supporter of your program, but I was shocked to read this. Is it true? I know it's not a position of the Lutheran Church today, but did Luther really write this? It's quoted on a website, Jewish Virtual Library. I've been issues etc. listener for a few years now. I have never heard anyone deal with this topic. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the question, Ted in Virginia.
We actually did we've done several shows on this and dealt with it in many different shows, but we actually did a show, when was it? It was back in 2011 with Dr. Uwe Simonetto answering the question, was Martin Luther anti-Semitic, dealing with that document, which does exist. Martin Luther did write it late in life, kind of his cranky years. And there's a lot of history that goes into not explaining away what he wrote. What he wrote was deplorable. And this is a good time to point out that Lutherans don't subscribe to Martin Luther. Lutherans subscribe to the Lutheran confessions, some of which were written by Martin Luther, much of which weren't. Lutherans do not subscribe to everything or anything Luther wrote, but only to those things that have been deemed by the Lutheran reformers to be faithful to Holy Scripture and were set forth in the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions of 1580. That's what Lutherans subscribe to. So Luther shouldn't be used to trump the confessions, which he sadly often is nowadays. If you find a Luther quote that says something different than the Lutheran confessions, toss it out. Toss it out. Because you don't subscribe to Luther, you subscribe to the Lutheran confessions. And one of those writings, The Jews and Their Lies, is the best thing you can do is toss it out. Luther was wrong on this point. There are some apologists who try to say, well, Luther was right there. Well, he wasn't. He may have had a kernel of some ideas that may have been right with respect to blasphemy and public blocking of the preaching of the gospel, but his conclusions were wrong.
Quickly, Jim writes, a year ago, my wife and I returned to America from 5 years of ministry in Karachi, Pakistan. I cannot adequately express how wonderful it was listening to Lutheran Public Radio's music broadcast each Sunday morning before church service in Pakistan. We still listen here in America. Thanks for the feedback, Jim.
And thank you very much for listening wherever you are. We love to have the opportunity to bring that sacred music for the world to listeners all over the world. That's why it's called Sacred Music for the World. We're aware that the internet has made it possible for people anywhere and everywhere to have that sacred music through LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app, which, if you don't have, by the way, is available absolutely free at our website, issuesetc.org. You can listen not only to Lutheran music 24/7, you can also listen to Lutheran Talk the Best of Issues, etc. 24/7, issuesetc.org, and the app is right there in the upper left-hand corner.
Susan writes, she said, I heard the ad talking about listening to Lutheran Public Radio on Amazon's Alexa. She said, I just wanted to put in a plug for Google Home. She says, hey, Google, play LPR, or hey, Google, play Issues, etc. Works great, too. It's my favorite thing about Google Home.
Well, we'll have to put together an ad for listening on Google Home as well as Amazon Echo. It just so happened that Jeff owns an Amazon Echo, so we were able to put that spot together.
Got one for Christmas. Hey, tomorrow, what do we got? Chris Rosebro?
Tomorrow, Chris Rosebro is This Week in Pop American Christianity, and we'll play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for your email and your comments, and I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.